I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. No, we'll be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. Dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world. To do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world. To fulfill the promise. Let us all unite.
All right, folks, welcome to the Corporation Nation. It is Friday, November 1st. We've got an interesting show today. We kind of threw it together at the last moment. Now, Bert, if you were with us yesterday, we talked about a case he was working on, where he was helping some people out in California, and that they were trying to get some restraining orders, on, which I thought was brilliant, restraining orders on the governor and, of course, all the police officers that are harassing these poor people. And I'm sure a lot of us have been harassed and know exactly why that would be a good thing. So I wanted to just start off today's show. We're going to have both Bert, Freeman Bert from Colorado. We have Jan Irvin from Gnostic Media, who lives in the next county over and is trying to help these people by making this a public thing where hopefully some of you people listening out there can rally together and actually help out, be witnesses, and support these folks in what they're going through, their harassment. And we also have Kim, and I'll let Kim introduce herself. I wanted to just start by just reading a quick quote, and then I'm going to turn it over to Bert to explain what's happening now. Mr. Frederick Bastiat from France, actually, from the early 1800s, was a political economist and a classical liberal theorist. And he has a very interesting quote, which I think is very apropos for today, so I thought I'd read it to you. It says, "When plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men living together in society, they create for themselves, in the course of time, a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it," it being plunder. And that is exactly what's happening to our friends. So I'm going to turn it over to Bert, who can introduce our guests and tell us what's going on.
Yes, thanks a lot, Clint, for allowing us to use your show here to educate people and get the message off of this tremendous injustice that's going on in this one particular part of the world, in this particular small part of this States United, but in fact is something that can be mirrored across any county in any city, any place within this 50 States United. And what's going on here is basically you have a beautiful American family, okay, husband, wife, and two children who are models of the community, who are, I mean, you cannot speak better about these people, okay? These are your model, so-called citizens. There's only one flaw in this family, is that they actually have the intelligence and the capacity to ask questions, which is what the public servants do not like you to do. So all the folks who are listening, please understand that we're talking about public servants preventing the masters from asking questions of them. Okay? Now, yesterday during the show, we were talking about this restraining orders. And it's just strange the timing of how things have evolved here, because this family, every obstacle that's imaginable that could be thrown in front of you to prevent you from accessing the courts has been thrown at these people. and they've overcome them. Okay, we've overcome them through knowledge and through persistence. But they don't want you to question their authority, and they definitely do not want you to bring them through their own court system that they are dragging the rest of us through. Okay, and that's what this whole thing is about. And they have now over-exercised their power against this family strategically to prevent them from accessing the courts. And now it appears that the very court that we were attempting to access to provide the restraining orders appears to have somehow worked in the background to allow this armed terrorists, because that's really what they are, to exercise their force and be able to kidnap the father in this family prior to the execution of the restraining orders. So it's strange how it has all worked out, but in the end they have been allowed by the court to kidnap this family member, because if the restraining order had been issued, they wouldn't have been able to do this, but they didn't.
So you're saying, if I have this correct, you're saying that the restraining order was actually issued to be delivered to the actual proper people, and on the same day they are actually arrested.
We actually, just to interrupt, Clinton, this is Jan Irvin. We actually have somebody out there right now trying to get everybody served. We've been trying to get this done all day today. And, you know, because of my son being with me, I was scheduled to go down there on Monday morning to do it. But because of all of this and because of my son, we had to send somebody else down immediately this morning to go do this. And, you know, we were already in the process of this. And, of course, they are trying to usurp everything that we're doing.
So they're trying to act before they get served is basically what you're saying.
Yes.
And this brings up a really interesting point, because, you know, we commonly like to think that these two functions of government, one being the executive, which is the forceful arm. Okay. When you think of the executive of the United States, you have to think the president, who is the commander in chief of the military. It is the military function, the executive, which enforces the will and opinions of both the judicial and the legislative branch. Without that executive, those two other branches would have absolutely no power whatsoever. All they'd have is a bunch of opinions that could not be enforced. And that's why the enforcement arm is so important. Now take that down to the microcosm level, which we're talking about in the municipality, a municipal corporation, and you're saying that the court, again, its opinion has no authority without the executive, which is the police. And they are actually conspiring together. And this is the great mythology in the United States, is that these three branches of government are supposed to act independently, and yet one cannot act without the other.
Yes, and in this particular situation, they are working very well to umbrella each other and give each other protection. Because if you bring down one of the legs of the system, it can't stand. Because you can see, like you mentioned, you have a three-pronged system. If you take out one of the legs, it cannot stand. You know, so they're specially designed to protect each other. But to clarify on the on the restraining orders, we were trying to get a temporary restraining order, and the courts apparently denied us the temporary restraining order. That's what I was trying to explain yesterday. So now we're basically going for a hearing in which we're going to then determine a permanent restraining order. And it appears
so,
now.
So really, it was a way to obfuscate the situation to give them enough time to round up the troops and get this done before those orders could go out.
So that's what it appears to be the situation now.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll introduce Kim. who is the victim of. Freeman Burt from Colorado, Mr. Jan Ervin from Gnostic Media out there in California, and we are trying to help the family of Kim. So, Burt, why don't you continue, and let's figure out how we can maybe mobilize some folks for you and see. I've already got a couple people that have said, "How can I help?" So, let's get to it.
Okay. Well, let's bring in a. Kim, and let her kind of give you guys a rundown without getting into too much detail about basically how this whole thing came about. Because the scary thing about this whole situation is anyone out there that has a child, okay, and let's just say a child between the ages of 5 and 17, your whole family is at risk of being invaded by a SWAT team, okay? Because children are going to do stupid things, and because of a stupid act of a child, you just may have a SWAT team invade your house and arrest you within your own home, which is what happened to this family. So go ahead, Kim, and undo your mic there and come on in and give us a brief of your nightmare.
Can everyone hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay. Hi, I'm Kim. Thank you, Clint, for pulling this together so quick.
Certainly.
Thanks to my friend Jan and to my friend Bert. This has been a close to 7-month nightmare now. Started originally on March 14th of this year. My 12-year-old got arrested for doing graffiti in our neighborhood where we have lived for 14 years and been tax-paying business owners in this city. And we were called by the police that they had picked him up, and we asked to be present while our 12-year-old was questioned. And we were told that we were denied that request, and we asked to get an attorney to be present while he was questioned, and we were denied that request as well. And we were told that our 12-year-old had, quote-unquote, waived his Miranda rights, was seen as an adult in the eyes of the law, and that they had the right to usurp our parental rights for up to 6 hours. And they interrogated my 12-year-old until almost 2 o'clock in the morning before they finally released him to us. And a couple of weeks later, charges arrived in the mail. And we, through referrals, hired a private defense attorney. We had a court date set for April 22, which we never attended because was not meant to be. On April 20th, at 10 o'clock in the morning, our local private corporate police department invaded our home on what we contend to be a false warrant, accusing our son of recommitting graffiti crimes, which are absolutely, it's false, and they've never provided any proof that any such thing ever happened. And subsequently, we have found out, we're not sure, we haven't been able to verify it, but we have been told by other law enforcement people in neighboring cities and counties that they've asked some questions, and my husband and I have been under investigation, by whom exactly, we're not sure, for over 7-8 months now. And on this false warrant, they came into our home, and they occupied it military style for 7.5 hours. And where do you want me to go from there, Bert?
Well, here's the point. This is the point that I want to highlight, which just makes my blood boil, okay? And it should boil the blood of anyone listening to this. That picture a military-styled police force entering your front door, and you, as the father, okay, in your home, as a respectable husband, if you were to instinctively act in any kind of a shape or form to defend your family, you would have been killed. And if anyone else in your home would have attempted to stand up to these people, you would have been killed. Okay? And this is the danger that everyone in this so-called free country faces just by having children who are going to do stupid things that children do.
Now, I've got a question here, and it's actually a privacy question. Now, Kimberly, I have in front of me here, it's labeled as a note from Sergeant Marcellus Reed, regarding it regards what we're talking about today. I just wondered if I could read some excerpts from that.
Go right ahead, because this is part of our evidence for this case as to the level that this corporatized police department is willing to go to make their point.
All right. And Mr. David is your husband, correct?
Correct. Who is in jail.
All right. So says he is an optometrist and owner of a vision center located at an address. I won't read those. In unincorporated Murrieta, which I find I've got to ask about that. His practice was previously in the city of Murrieta, and he currently provides service to several city employees. Now, here's where it gets interesting. A recent investigation involving his family has exposed several areas of concern, with the most severe being his sovereign citizen ideology. He goes on to say the sovereign citizen movement, has increased nationally, and their beliefs typically pose a safety concern for law enforcement and everyone representing government. This information is being disseminated for the safety of all city personnel who may be current or future clients, which again is an optometrist. Beware of the glass man. And to afford you the opportunity to make an informed decision when providing personal information to include your place of employment. If you have any questions, da-da-da-da-da. So not only is this a slanderous note, it's using an oxymoron called sovereign citizen, which this term doesn't actually exist in reality, because you cannot be a citizen and be sovereign. It's a ridiculous notion, mostly funded and put forth by groups like the ADL and other ridiculous groups who say Christians are terrorists, basically.
Clint, could I interrupt just a second? I want to mention to everyone that it was out of the kindness and awareness of a city employee who immediately after receiving that email forwarded it to us.
So there are good people. There are people who are not just bureaucrats, who just do things without knowledge and understanding of what they're doing. They actually think about it, and that's good to know. I mean, it really is good to know that there are good people out there. But, I mean, what I'm seeing here is slander, first of all. I'm seeing that a police officer with a duty, supposedly, to his constituents is actually trying to draw business away from a person who has a political opinion about the corruption of the very police. I mean,
monetary damages against the family.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a total abuse of power. Just this alone should be enough to remove this man from office, honestly. I mean, we're gonna go to a break here, and we'll get back with more of the story here. I mean, this is every city in America, folks. We're not just doing this because it's an isolated instance. This is every city in America, and this involves every family in America, especially those of you who are waking up. We'll be back.
It is like a finger pointing away to the moon. Don't con-
concentrate on the finger or you will miss all that heavenly glory.
Empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water. It can crash. Be water, my friend. Running water never goes stale. So you gotta just keep on flowing. Keep on flowing. So you gotta just keep on flowing. Just keep on flowing. Under the sky, under the heaven, there is but one family. Do not believe in styles. Styles separate man. It's a process of continuing growth. Empty your mind, be formless, shapeless, like water. Water can flow, or it can cry. Empty your mind, be formless, shapeless, like water. Be water, my friend.
Folks, welcome back here at the Corporation Nation. Freeman Burt, Jan Ervin from Gnostic Media, and we are trying to help out a family in California and would really like to get some support from the people, well, hopefully some people in California, and we'll discuss how that's a possibility later on. You know, Bert just sent me something that I think needs to be mentioned here. When we're talking about creating assets, when we're talking about the private prison industry, when we're talking about again an industry built around the confinement of persons, we have to go to the California Penal Code, Section 2800 through 2818, which says, commencing July 1st, 2005, there is hereby continued in existence within the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, the Prison Industry Authority. As used in this article, authority means the Prison Industry Authority. Commencing July 1st, 2005, any reference to the Department of Corrections shall refer to that department, the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. 2801 explains the purposes of the Prison Industry Authority. And I want you to listen to this, folks, because this is the purpose of the entire prison industry. It says the purposes of this authority are to develop and operate industrial, agricultural, and service enterprises, corporations, businesses, in other words, employing prisoners in institutions under the jurisdiction of the Department of Corrections, which enterprises may be located either within those institutions or elsewhere, all as may be determined by the authority. You know, it's funny how they throw around that word authority, isn't it, Bert? Because, of course, we know that the word authority really means permissive consent. So to develop a corporation called Prison Industry Authority really makes it sound like the people all agree that prisoners should be forced to work like slaves at low-wage labor. And I, for one, don't agree with that. I hope that the audience also, considering the fact that we're telling you who a lot of these prisoners are, and that the reason cities like these non-violent offenders is because they can put them to work in an industry. So let's continue here now that we understand that there's a little bit of an ulterior motive. I mean, so far, Bert, you've told me about corruption, conspiracy, and several other words, and I got to be honest, I'm not surprised. So let's keep going.
All right, Kim, go ahead and keep going. Like you were saying, so far we're down to the to that one phase of it, of them invading your home on a warrant, which was supposedly looking for tagging evidence, which basically was nothing more than a fishing expedition, because they actually went through your whole house with a fine-tooth comb, which makes it a perfect fishing expedition. And then, you know, I'd like you to tell a little bit about the torture that your family went through when they basically took your son on a total of three different occasions.
Well, first off, after Clint finished reading that email that was sent out by the Murrieta Police Corporation, my husband does not have a Facebook. I do, and I get a little mouthy on there, but he doesn't. He has never made a public political statement as to anything he considers himself in private. So the only way they could put down on that email that they think we are part of a sovereign citizen movement, oxymoron that is, is by spying on what we listen to on the internet. And they did take 5 computers out of our house on the day that they invaded our home. The nightmare continued that, you know, they had this warrant, which they refused to show my husband for over 3 hours. They took our son out of the home within 2 hours into this ordeal. They supposedly found enough evidence to rearrest him because he had 2 notebooks in his closet that had the same word written inside the notebook that he had been writing in our neighborhood. So, you know, apparently they had found all the evidence they needed to rearrest this big, you know, 12-year-old criminal who posed, I'm being as sarcastic as possible, such a threat to society. Literally, my son could sleep through a freight train. He's one of those kids. And my daughter, who is 17, begged these police officers to allow her to go in and wake up her brother, let him know what was going on so that he wouldn't be traumatized, because he was pretty traumatized already by what had happened to him for 4 hours at the police station with no other adult present. And they refused. So 4 police officers in full SWAT gear woke up my 75-pound 12-year-old son, took him downstairs where he had to sit at the dining room table with my husband, my daughter, and my daughter's boyfriend. God took me out of that home that morning to go with a friend to the beach, which I hadn't been out of the home on a Saturday morning in months because I was in school at the time. Because I'm sure I would have gotten arrested that day as well, because I'm a little more of a hothead than my even-keel husband.
Or gotten killed.
And that's another point I want to bring up. We believe in the Second Amendment, and we have guns in our home, and we have a safe room in our home, which we have had since we had a home invasion crime when we lived in Memphis, Tennessee in 1992. We have always maintained that anybody who came into our home can have any of our so-called possessions that we have, but if they continue to come into the safe room, they're going to get their head blown off. So I guess it's kind of a lucky thing that I live in a town with no crime, and I didn't lock the door when I left that morning. So the police were able to literally open the door and walk in. And it may have saved their lives, not to mention my son, my husband's life, because, you know, he would have gone and gotten the gun. So even though they had a search warrant that was supposedly to find additional graffiti evidence against my son, they got a broad sweeping search warrant that literally said they could even search the gutters in front of our house. And they did not go to my son's room first. They went to our bedroom. So you tell me, were they looking for a 12-year-old? Because he lived in a child's room with a mural painted on the wall. There was, you know, they, I'm sure, had a layout of what our house floor plan was. But nonetheless, they went into our room first.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly sounds like the target was yourselves, and that your son was just the tool, the prop to make that happen. Now, Bert, did you take a let me make something clear for the audience. Kimberly, just to be clear here, the crime was graffiti. Now, what building was it? How did this work?
Well, my child foolishly started doing some graffiti with some neighborhood kids in the middle of 5th grade when he was 11 years old, riding inside of the slide, down at the park, yada, yada, yada. most of what he did over an admitted 18-month period was in washable Crayola marker that came off with a squirt of natural cleaner and a Mr. Clean sponge. But in the last few months of his adventures in crime, he hooked up with a boy that moved into our neighborhood that was part of a military family that had moved here from Texas, who was in a tagging crew when he lived in Texas. Because let's be clear, tagging is a specific legal term that refers to being in a gang and marking your territory.
Yeah, right, right. So for crayons, Crayolas, and water markers, we need a SWAT team. All right. Well, okay, fine. We'll be back, folks. And I'm really curious about the search warrant itself.
And the men who hold high places must be the ones who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart, closer to the heart.
Folks, welcome back. Again, now I want to go back to Yawn here for a second. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I was really curious and had some folks asking actually about the actual violent crime of writing on things. So, Yawn, you were saying in our little chat session here, I'm curious. When exactly, what's the chronology here? What happened as far as this email that went out? When did that email go out exactly?
Okay, so on Wednesday, June 12th, I went to the courthouse as basically a friend of the family and guardian of the kids. And well, we were there. We walked out of that courtroom at maybe, noon or so. And, it wasn't but a few hours later that email had been sent out to everyone. Actually, it must have been earlier than that. We probably went into the courtroom. So that Sergeant, Markellis Reed sent that letter out to the entire city while we were sitting in the courtroom.
Did you say the entire city? So in other words, all city employees?
All city employees got that email.
And of course, the city is always the largest employer of every city, which is, so that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
All right. Now, Bert, have you taken a look in your expertise there? Have you taken a look at this search warrant to see if it was at all legal, lawful, or anything close to it?
Well, I mean, the warrant itself can be challenged in many ways, and of course we will do that. But the whole premise and the whole warrant was kind of hastily done, like most warrants are, and most attorneys will never tell you that most warrants are actually unlawful because they have to meet certain criteria which they don't have, and any warrant these days can be produced on the word of any officer without evidence, just his word, and that part really should scare people, because this is what they do day in and day out.
Yeah, it is scary. And of course, you know, as I've said countless times, this is why we have to be very careful in accepting those Miranda rights that are supposedly granted to us as a favor, because that actually allows the police officer to say anything against you in a court of law, whether that is a true statement or a lie. So, you know, these so-called rights that were offered, they're very dangerous, and they're actually against our best interests. So where should we go from here? Should we follow the chronology? What, after this, so that was Wednesday. So then when was the actual arrest of the father?
Oh, that was today.
Today?
This morning they arrested him, yes.
So not, mm-hmm. not 2 days after that letter went out.
And not at home. They waited till he got to his place of work.
Nice. Well, what's the plan here, guys?
Well, I want Kim to go ahead and finish telling the story about the additional torture that her family had to go through, and because this will really paint the picture to the people so that they can see that your children can be grabbed at any time, anywhere.
Sure. And remember to mention, or I'll just mention that, you know, the rest of the family was held for an additional 4.5 hours after the son was taken as well.
Was that while the house was searched?
Yes.
So you weren't allowed to leave the house, in other words?
Oh, no. They had my husband, who's never been arrested in his life until this morning, handcuffed to our patio furniture in the hot sun in the backyard, and they were denied food and water until my daughter literally was crying and begging.
Were they pointing guns at you?
They had lots of weapons that they were pointing at my family. They also ate lunch at my kitchen table like they were invited guests.
Food?
Well, they didn't eat our food. They brought in their own big lunch boxes for the day.
So they planned the on staying.
Apparently.
Go on, Kim, please.
Not only that, my family could hear the pool balls on our pool table being cracked. So they were playing pool in our family room upstairs.
Wow.
And apparently little 12-year-old boys hide their graffiti evidence in their mother's lingerie drawer as well, because they went through my closet and dumped things like common thugs. And like Jan had just said, they took my son 2 hours into this ordeal but continued to occupy our home for another 5.5 hours. And to add insult to injury, they reported us to Child Protective Services here in California for quote unquote severe neglect. And let me tell you, I have been a psychiatric nurse for almost 20 years. 8.5 of those were as a charge nurse at Loma Linda Behavioral Medicine Center as a child psych nurse. And I've seen a lot of severe neglect in my time. It's some images I can't get out of my mind, like one little boy with the entire imprint of a hot iron on his back. But that's what we were accused of as well. So we have had to deal with Child Protective Services, our child being kidnapped from us and put in this private corporation called Juvenile Hall, where they literally have bed quotas to meet and shareholders to keep happy. And they bragged to us when we finally signed a contract under duress to get our child out of that facility. They bragged to us that they gave him a dirty room to, quote unquote, teach him a lesson. And Zach, my son, told us that there was blood smeared on the wall in the shape of a cross, that whatever kid had been in this room prior to him had messed with the sink combination drinking fountain and had crammed things all down into it so he couldn't get a drink of water. He was dehydrated by the time I got him home. They tried to vaccinate my child in this facility against my will, and I had to literally threaten them with all kinds of things and tell them that, you know, when he was 15 months old, he got 4 shots in one day, and within 48 hours, he was practically dead. And so they did not end up giving him anything because I made such a stink out of it. But they also pumped gangster rap music into their rooms until lights out at night. And they forced my child to shower with grown boys who were getting ready to be taken off to adult jail with full-on beards and everything else that goes with that. And bless my son's heart, he was so scared, he showered with his underwear on. And so these bigger boys taunted him and told him that they liked little boys and maybe he could come and shower by them, and teased him and taunted him about molesting him with guards right outside the door who never said one word. So we got him out after 4 days because we went to court on Monday morning, and we were told by the prosecuting attorney for Riverside County assigned to this case, who was also the attorney who co-signed the search warrant, that the Murrieta police had not produced all the reports that they needed to in a timely manner over the weekend. So they continued my son's hearing until the next day. So we had to stay in jail an additional 24 hours for that.
All right, Kimberly, this is getting worse by the minute. I am so empathetic and sorry for this. I hope that this is inspiring the same feelings in the listeners out there. And it's really time. I mean, I'm not doing this for fun. It's time for people to stand up against this. And I think that's our goal today. We'll be back. We've got another hour to go here, so stay with us. Thank you.
Don't give yourselves to brutes, men who despise you, enslave you, tell you what to do, what to think and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines, you are men. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful. Despair, the hate of men will pass, and dictators die, and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people, will return to the people. Let us all unite.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled program to bring you more of a public service. We're talking with Freeman Burt from Colorado, Jan Irvin of Gnostic Media, and Kimberly from California, from it's a Riverside County. No, Sam. Yeah, Riverside, yep. County. And we're in the middle of hearing just one of the most blatant conspiratorial things I've ever heard. I mean, during the break, now, Kimberly, you were talking about the specific officer that actually pulled over your husband. So why don't you continue from where you left off and go over that as well, because we're talking about pure harassment here.
Yes, we are. Okay, so we got our child out, and we had a hearing pending for these people to decide whether or not my child would meet the criteria to be placed on informal probation so that he wouldn't be actually charged with a crime. And Bert can jump in and discuss all the legal shenanigans they have pulled through that whole process if he wants to. But we can fast forward to the fact that Bert helped us formulate documents to make them try to identify how they had jurisdiction over us to begin with, because we were from the very beginning saying, we're not part of your body politic. And if we have ever gone into an agreement for the state of California and the federal government of the United States Corporation to be in a parenting agreement with us, that contract had to be under deception and fraud, because I never knowingly did that and neither did Dave. And they have yet to produce one single document, law, statute or code that even is an attempt to say that they have had the rights to do anything that they've done. So we filed our countersuit, which was accepted in the historic court in downtown Riverside, and we proceeded on through this Mickey Mouse dog and pony show out at the administrative court of Murrieta, where we filed documents in saying that the so-called contract that we signed under duress that day to get our child out of the juvenile hall corporate business was null and void, because there's no clearer description of signing something under duress than what we did. And according to their own codes and statutes, it's pretty clear. So we filed those documents, and we told them that we were not going to be self-policing ourselves and calling them every day, because they had placed my child on a home supervision contract. And we filed all those lawful documents and said, we're not going to be calling you anymore. And after we did that, 5 days later, they went to my son's government school, and they went into the vice principal's office and told the vice principal that they were arresting my son. And the vice principal went and got him out of his class party, because this was the next to the last day of school. And they handcuffed my child and ankle cuffed him and took him out and put him in a police car. This was probation, so probation officer's car. And took him back to juvenile hall and booked him in again for violating his home supervision contract, which his parents were the ones who decided not to call. But because he's an adult in the eyes of the law, they told him he could have called in himself. So they held him for another 3 days, and I can tell you this time I was talking to everybody you can imagine and threatening them that if they gave my son a dirty room, if they made him shower with adult boys, that were going to taunt him and, you know, basically say they wanted to molest him. And if there was any gangster rap pumped into his, I mean, I talked to everybody and I let them know I knew what was going on and that we were suing them and that they, any of them could be added as names as defendants in our case. So fast forward to Zach finally getting put on informal probation. We have been leveled with a fine for cleanup for $14,000, which the County of Riverside has refused to produce one single receipt, canceled check, or anything that would qualify as quote-unquote detailed accounting that we asked for in some of our legal documents.
But make it clear that from the very beginning, you made an offer for reparations.
Yes, we filed on May 7th an offer to make remedy, where if they would have told us exact, you know, showed us this is what it costs to clean up your son's handiwork. And basically, in my opinion, I already paid to have the city corporation's property cleaned by, because they've been taking my taxes in this community for the last 14, almost 15 years. How, you know, and when it comes to my neighbor's fences and stucco walls that he upped the ante a little bit with that boy I was starting to tell you about that got arrested with him, I'm fine, absolutely fine with paying to have my neighbor's fences repaired properly, because the city of Murrieta's repair job, just for one example, one of our neighbors had just put up a new red cedar fence. My son and his friend spray painted two words on their fence in red paint, but it was a dark, dark red. You know, you could see it really well on their brand new fence. But Murrieta's cleanup job was to make a big black square over the words that they had painted there. And that's what they're claiming, that they're charging us $150 an hour to clean up. So there's a lot of other details in between, and I don't know how much of those we want to get into, but let's fast forward to this morning. My husband was arrested by Officer Brendan Carney of the Murrieta PD Corporation, and he is already a defendant in our lawsuit. He was the ringleader of the home invasion crime, And he is a defendant in our lawsuit, and he is one of the people we are attempting to take out a restraining order against. But he had the audacity to be the one in a plain, non-marked police car that two other black and whites pulled up after he pulled my husband over. And he pulled him out of his truck, and my daughter said that they kept saying, "Relax your arms, sir, relax your arms." And Dave said, "My arms are relaxed." Because he told my daughter, he saw them in the rearview mirror, and he said, "Macy, I'm getting ready to be pulled over, and I bet you they're getting ready to arrest me." And sure enough, that's what happened. So this Brendan Carney apparently has some kind of vendetta against my husband, because I think it's pretty brazen that the ringleader of the other, what we consider to be a crime, was the one allowed to arrest my husband this morning.
Well, certainly, and this certainly points to a very planned event, obviously, yes. And also with a pre-knowledge of the restraining order already being issued, correct?
Correct.
Wow. You know, this goes all the way to the top level, of course, because these guys, you know, they don't just act without permission from their own authority. So
that's what I want people to realize, that this is a business that they're protecting. It's a money making machine that they're protecting at all costs. It doesn't matter who they run over.
Absolutely. And it's of course their own reputations, like yours has been smeared. They have to protect their own bonds, for instance. Otherwise they wouldn't be able to be an organized crime without their bonds. So we'll be back. Continue with this horrendous story.
Hey, neighbor. Welcome again to this neighborhood. I'd like to show you something. You know what this is? Maybe if I press this button.
There are so many things to learn about in this world. And so many people who can help us learn. And so many people who can help us learn.
Did you ever grow anything in the garden of your mind?
In the garden of your mind.
You can grow ideas in the garden of your mind.
In the garden of your mind.
It's good to be curious about many things. You can think about things and think to leave. All you have to do is think.
Well, we're dealing with a daily problem. You know, when we talk about crime, of course, crime statistics are so far down at this point that it's almost ridiculous. But when we're really talking about crime or domestic crime, when we're talking about, we have to understand and realize that we're really talking about organized crime. We're talking about police crime. We're talking about officers of the law acting under the color of their office, under the color of law, pretending to have this authority to do anything they wish and to literally ruin the lives of people in what can only be called human trafficking. Okay, human trafficking. I want to read chapter 8 of the Penal Code of California, crimes and punishments, crimes against the person. Chapter 8, false imprisonment and human trafficking. Section 236 says false imprisonment is defined as the lawful violation of the personal liberty of another. Now, remember, we're talking about artificial people here. The imprisonment is, of course, the artificial person, but the surety to that artificial person is taken because you can't. If you put a piece of paper in a prison cell, it's not going to really do any good, and you certainly can't extort labor from a piece of paper. So the surety is put in prison. 236-1 says any person who deprives or violates the personal liberty of another with the intent to obtain forced labor or services is guilty of human trafficking and shall be punished by imprisonment in the state prison for 5, 8, or 12 years and a fine of not more than $500,000. Now, let me read you what we read before, which is the authority called, which they created there. which was called, what was it? The Prison Industry Authority, created by the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation in California. Here's what that says again. It says the purpose of this authority to develop and operate industrial, agricultural, and service enterprises, which are businesses, employing prisoners in institutions under the jurisdiction of the Department of Corrections, which enterprises may be located either within the institutions or elsewhere, all as may be determined by the authority. Now, do those two things sound like a contradiction? Any person who deprives or violates the personal liberty of another with the intent to obtain forced labor or services is guilty of human trafficking? And yet, the same government created an authority to put people to work, forced labor, that are in prison. All right, folks, is it that we're not watching? Is it that we're not concerned? Is it that we think this is not going to happen to us? What is it that we are allowing this to happen? Why are there not mobs with pitchforks standing and breaking into the police office building? And why are we not personally arresting these people? Just because they have a badge? A uniform? Just because they have a perceived power? It is your duty as citizens to arrest someone who is committing a crime. Period. End of story. You don't need a badge for that. Let's get back here. Now, Kimberly, I know there's so many facets to this story. Is there more? Is there something else we need to know? Is there more crime? Are there more names to name here?
In a nutshell, that's a lot of the details that have gone on, and my husband has spent the day in Southwest Detention Center, and I'm currently have a bail bondsman over there trying to get him out. They're trying to break us financially, emotionally, spiritually, and anything else you can think of. We have crazy, crazy stuff happen to us all the time now. We know that they try to listen, you know, to our phone calls, and we have computers that are closed down, shut, going off in the middle of the night, so we don't know if they're trying to access things, you know, remotely. We have helicopters that hover over our house so low and so close that things fall off of my walls, and they let us know they're around. They follow us around town. I was eating lunch with a friend in town on Monday, and a female motorcycle cop came and just stood at the table across and put her back up against it, pulled her sunglasses off, and bored holes through me for a full 5 minutes till they called her name to get her food. And then Kimberly, she shot me a dirty look and went and got on her motorcycle and drove away.
You know, what you're describing, Kimberly, is a phenomenon that happens to quite a few people around the globe, actually, and they're called targeted individuals. And I don't have that information in front of me, but you should really probably look up that phrase and get in touch with some of the people who try to help people who are suffering from this. Because what you've done is you sound like a brave woman. You sound like someone who's not afraid to speak their mind and to call out crime and conspiracy and all that when you see it. Unfortunately, that literally means that you become a target of the very criminal element, which are the police and the prison industry and the courts. So hopefully, you know, target individuals, look that up and try to get some counseling to at least to know that this is, you're not alone, you're not crazy. This is happening to a lot of people, unfortunately.
Well, my son is suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder at this point from everything that he's been through. We literally had to take his mattress off of his bed and put it at the end of our bed in our room because he was scared to death to be in his room by himself because, you know, the cops could show up at any minute and take him out of his bed again. And he started having nightmares and sleepwalking, which he has never done in his entire life. He's gotten up in the middle of the night several times now and locked himself in the bathroom and turned the shower on, and we can't, you know, he's asleep, so you're trying to talk to him through the door, and we're trying to get, you know, pick the lock on our own bathroom door to get to our son, who is in a state that he's never been in before. So, you know.
Yeah, and here's one point that I want to bring out. This criminals, okay, which, by the way, are stimulated and created by all those so-called honorable men that people supposedly vote into office, okay? The people who are running your legislative bodies are, in fact, the criminals behind the criminals. So let's put the credit where it belongs, okay? You don't have to be in a prison to be in prison. You could be in your so-called home and still be in a prison. That's what Kim is describing right now, that they do not feel like they are free because at any moment they can be harassed, picked up, arrested, or whatever like happened today. So the picture is we're in a giant prison, and all this is being created by those people that everybody so eagerly vote into office when they go, you know, time for voting.
You know, Kimberly, I have another question for you, just to be clear here. Do you live in Murrieta?
Yes, we live in Murrieta.
Is Murrieta unincorporated?
No, part of it is unincorporated, and part of it is incorporated. And
which part do you live in?
Well, we used to live in the unincorporated area, but during this entire nightmare, we also had been trying to get a modification on our primary residence, and we were unable to do that, and we finally made it through a short sale during this entire nightmare. So we chose to rent a home in the unincorporated area because, you know.
And that's where you are presently?
Murrieta PD is not supposed to have jurisdiction up here.
I think you said before, Kim, that you were in the unincorporated area. You used to live in the incorporated area, and you just recently moved to the unincorporated area.
Correct.
Right.
I'm sorry.
My question then is do you live now and all this is happening in the unincorporated area?
Correct.
So why are the police even involved?
We don't have a lawful sheriff in Riverside County, and the sheriff has
My neighbor, welcome again to this neighborhood. I'd like to show you something. You know what this is? Maybe if I press this button.
Imagine every person that you see is somewhat different from every other person in the world. Some can do some things. Some can do some things. Some can do others. Some can do others. Did you ever think of the many things you've learned to do? Many things. Did you ever grow anything in the garden of your
mind? The ultimate crime today, which is legal crime. Unfortunately, where criminals make their actions perfectly legal, simply because, in my opinion, the people will not protect themselves or each other. And Kimberly is very vocal. Kimberly is very brave for what she is doing today, naming names and trying to come here with Bert, who's also trying to help, and literally asking for people to do something. Here's something you can do. You know, what's really interesting is your sheriff has an 800 number that you can call. I know every sheriff does. How about is your sheriff named Stanley Sniff?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, 800-950-2444. That number again, 800-950-2444. Why don't you give Stanley Sniff a call and ask him why the heck he's not doing anything about this? And the question I have for you, Kimberly, if you're living in an unincorporated area, why is it that a municipal police department is handling these affairs? This sounds like it should be the sheriff. That's actually, or did they contract out their services to the municipality?
Well, we're assuming that a lot of things are contracted out because Stanley Sniff has been illegally appointed as a sheriff since 2010, but has never been elected. So he doesn't represent the people because he's not elected by the people, and they have refused to do a special election to try to make it legal because they don't care. San Diego, Riverside County, and San Bernardino all have unlawful sheriffs right now.
Wow.
And
let me just interject, Kim, that the California state constitution allows an appointed sheriff to be in office for no more than 9 months. So all of these sheriffs, Sniff, McMahon, the San Diego sheriff, they are all illegal sheriffs.
So we're talking about a complete breakdown of the whole justice system here. We're talking about a crime that goes even beyond. I mean, they are actually breaking. They're probably not oathed either. This is just completely a mind screw to me that this is actually happening and that people are not doing anything about this. And that's the most important part here. And I want to get back to Bert here.
Because what I want to know. Give out that 800 number again one more time.
800-950-2444. That is for Mr. Stanley Sniff. I'm sure you'll get one of his minions instead of Mr. Sniff himself. But what bothers me the most, and the real issue here, yes, this is happening. Yes, this is bad. But the real issue is that we, the people, if you will, are not standing up for each. We are not a community. We are not a clan. We are completely defeated because we've been separated. We believe that all this legalese and all these legal codes don't allow us to do anything. They take us out of our natural duty and they put us into this sniveling, pathetic citizenry that we've become. It's time to do something. You have three counties that have illegal and unlawful sheriffs. So, Bert, I know that you want to do something about this. What can people do to help you and to help Kimberly here and to help Jan, because he's promoting a sheriff in his county that has an unlawful sheriff. What can people do to help you?
Yes, you know, I mean, if we could at least, okay, at least get the people in this surrounding counties to support us financially and with warm bodies when it's time to go to court, when it's time to make a presentation to these people, we actually may get these people to stop and think, wow, there's a lot of people that think what we're doing is wrong. Is it possible that it's wrong? They just may start questioning what they are doing, because what people don't realize is that all these people that are carrying these guns and that are using all these force against us, they think that what they are doing is correct and lawful, and that they're actually doing a service for the community. It's a brainwashing thing. The same way that the rest of us has been brainwashed into sitting back and acting like sheep, they have been brainwashed to act like the wolf. And we let them do it.
And the first court date that we would need some warm bodies at, if they want to show up, is at the Hemet Superior Court on November 12th at 8:30 in the morning. And that address is 880 North State Street, Hemet, California, 92543. That will be the morning that we have the hearings on these restraining orders that we have attempted to get. And one of those people that we're trying to restrain is the unlawful sheriff, because he has not come to our aid one iota.
Yeah, so what happened when you called them up when they were trying to take your son? What was it that they said to you?
Well, my husband reported when they took my son out of his government school, he reported it as a kidnapping, and both Marietta PD and the sheriff department laughed. And we asked them, who polices you? And the police said they police themselves, and the sheriff department said they police themselves. That was the answer we got, and we have it recorded.
Yeah, so unless you have, you know, a couple of hundred fellow free citizens next to you willing to actually go to one of these detention centers and take your children out of there, no one is going to come to your rescue. No one is going to come to your rescue. This is a sad part, that these people that supposedly are upholding the law, when they are in fact violating the law against you, there's no one to help you. So the only people that can help you is yourselves, the fellow people around you. We need to come together and become the free country that this place is supposed to be, not a giant concentration camp, which is what it's becoming.
Yes.
Well, what was the date of that court case again?
November 12th. Now, we have no idea when my husband's first, you know, hearing will be regarding whatever they're going to charge him with. But we may need some people then, and I'll let y'all know as soon as I know.
Yeah, so for now, I would like people to, you know, to contact Jan and myself. They can send me emails to Bert, B-U-R-T, at onlyfreemen.com. And then I have a website that we're also working on, which is onlyfreemen.com.
And you can reach me at contact at GnosticMedia.com. That's GNOSTICMedia.com.
And again, Jan is very, very much active in trying to reestablish a lawful sheriff in his county, which is San Bernardino, correct?
Yes, that's San Bernardino County. And just recently, in fact, and the easiest way people can get to all of the shows that you and Bert and I have done, Clint, is just go to slavesanonymous.com. And right there, they can find my recent interview with Paul Schrader, who is actually San Bernardino County Sheriff in Exile, and we're trying to get him into power as the lawful sheriff.
Well, if he's willing to do an interview on this show, I'd be glad to have you both back sometime to talk about that, because it is very important. It is the foundation of order and law. And in what you're telling me, that foundation has been cracked and just completely turned to dust. There is no law.
Sure.
Well,
what the issue is, Clint, and you found this, in fact, is that the California State Constitution only allows these appointed positions for where somebody is supposed to be elected for 9 months.
Right.
So both Sheriff McMahon for San Bernardino County, and that's John McMahon, who was involved in that Chris, what's his name, case, the cop that went berserk that they killed up here up in the mountains and then torched the house to destroy the evidence. But that all happened under John McMahon. And then, Sheriff Stanley Sniff in the next county over directly. But, but they're all, illegal, unconstitutional sheriffs. They're all 3 years plus past their state constitutional limits.
How the heck
and,
does this
and none of
in
these
two
guys,
counties?
By the way, and none of these guys, regardless of the issues of the Oath Keepers, none of those guys are Oath Keepers. And Paul D. Schrader, he is an Oath Keeper, at least.
I don't understand how this could happen in one county. Okay, I could see it, but three different counties? How is that possible? Oh my gosh. We're going to be back in our last segment here. I want to thank you guys for joining and being brave enough to talk about this. So stay with us. We'll be back.
Nanoscale weather machines. All of these technologies exist in some form today.
Look, Mummy, there's no cloud up in the sky.
Goodbye, blue sky. Goodbye, blue sky. Goodbye. Goodbye.
I mean, to find out that three counties in Los Angeles, or excuse me, in California, which is what, I grew up in Sacramento. That is an amazing, amazing fact in and of itself, that those sheriffs are all completely, add any words you want, illegal, unconstitutional, absolutely fraudulent, and that this is happening under their watch. That is enough to, in my mind, create a mob riot against, because there is literally then no law. That is so important that means that the police departments basically are going to operate without any sense of a sheriff that can do anything about what they do. This is very frightening. Listen, I want to take a call, just one call today, by a gentleman who's been instant messaging me. He is known to you, Bert, and his name is Gary. Gary, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Bert, Clint and Bert, for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks, Bert. So, what you're describing is very emotional to me. I mean, this is what Kim has gone through, and what I'm going through pales in experience to what Kim is going through. So I just wanted to kind of encourage people to take their, because I've been through this court hearing stuff a number of times, and it takes a lot of, for lack of a better word, balls to stand up against these people because they're very good at what they do. But in the end, you had the righteousness and the truth behind you. And if we don't stand up now, our future is going to be dismal for our kids. And I think that is the most important message that we can get across to people today, is that if we don't stand up now, now is the time. Now is the time to stand up for what you believe in.
And I got to ask the audience, what better opportunity are you going to get? Honestly, what better opportunity can possibly present itself than to have a 3-county unlawful organized crime happening right before your very eyes, knowingly having sheriffs that are occupying an office without the law behind them, under total color of law? What more does a community need to actually do something? I don't know an answer. I can't think of anything else that would floor me enough to actually do something about this. So thanks for the call, my friend. I wish you luck in your troubles as well. I think you're in good hands with Bert, as is Kimberly. Well, we're going to close this up today. Why don't you...
In a free and open society, and we are, as a people, inherently and historically...
OnlyFreeMen.com. And the website we're working on is onlyfreemen.com. Go ahead, Jan, and give your info.
contact@gnosticmedia.com, gnosticmedia.com. And my website is gnosticmedia.com. And, you know, we should... Clint, would you give that sheriff's number out one more time?
sure thing. Let me... find it again here.
I really want to make sure that a lot of people call this guy, because, you know, if their phone lines are flooded tomorrow, maybe we can get to, you know, some proper things going here.
Well, and just ask why. 800, it's toll free, it's not going to cost you a darn cent. 1-800-950-2444. Sheriff Stanley Sniff. He sounds like a sniff. Kimberly. My brave lady, would you, instead of me, and instead of Bert, and instead of Jan, would you please talk some sense into people? Give us your plea, please, to have people help you.
To the parents out there, if the fact that they can and obviously do believe they are in a three-way parenting agreement where they can usurp your parental rights for 6 hours on an arrest, and basically till they're 21 they can make them a ward of the court, and you are pretty much guilty till you can prove your innocence. And this is a for-profit industry. They have bed quotas to meet, shareholders to keep happy, and it is a business. And You know, if that's not a motivating factor to get out there and figure out what is really going on in this nation, I don't know what is. I really don't. And, you know, they're trying to break us financially in every other way. So anybody out there who can spare $5, please send it our way, because we're fighting this fight for you to try to say this has to be changed. We will not stand for this. You will not be able to usurp my parental rights without me fighting back like a sassy little hellcat. They've barked up the wrong tree this time, and this has been horrible. I understand what Gary's saying. It's, you can't sleep the nights before you go to these hearings because you never know what kind of railroading you're going to endure. And, you know, they're taking corruption to a whole nother level here. The last hearing we had, trying to get them to tell us the true accounting of what's going on, the judge basically changed it to a stipulation and came up with an amount himself, backed up by nothing. And we're supposed to pay it by December 30th, or as he reminded us in the court, and we have the printed transcript to prove it, he said, I will take this to a bench trial where I will be the judge and the jury, and if I find your son guilty on even one count, I can make him a ward of the court till he's 21 years old.
This is just vicious. I mean, this is plain brutality.
What judge was that, Kim?
This is Judge Paul Dickerson III, I believe. And he basically has let us know that he owns that courtroom and he runs the show and he moves the court constantly when he shouldn't. And one of the hearings, he literally went on for 51 minutes.
So let me just say this. What you folks have listened during these 2 hours has been a real life example of pure racketeering at its highest level. And an innocent family, which could be any family out there.
And this is every family.
This is what Clint and I have spoken about before, racketeering, and that's what this is.
Yeah, and you know what, folks? This is not just a local or a state or any. This is everywhere. And for those who don't understand how deep this goes, I want you to go to a little website called unicor.com. Gov. That is unicor.gov. This is the private, this is the prison industry's website for the federal government. And you'll see that they make everything from office furniture, industrial products, clothing and textiles, U.S. Marshals, they outfit license plates, you'd be shocked. It's like looking at a Home Depot catalog. You're going to be amazed at what these prisoners are making. They make hardwood floors. They do all these things that you purchase as consumers. A lot of this stuff is coming from the prison industry. It's substandard wages. And of course, these prisoners are happy to do it because otherwise they're going to be sitting around in a cell. Okay? So this thing is very, very serious. Again, that's unicor.gov. And again, contact Bert at onlyfreemen.com and Jan Ervin at gnosticmedia.com. Thank you, folks, and thank you, Kimberly, for being so brave. I wish you all the love and luck you can have.
Thank you, and real quick.